Welcome to today's New Life Live podcast. Today's podcast is brought to you by you. Your donations make this podcast possible. Please consider donating today using the New Life app, visit newlife.com, or call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Welcome to New Life Live with host and founder of New Life Ministries, Stephen Arterburn. New Life Live is dedicated to transforming lives one at a time, thanks to the giving hearts of you, our listeners. Our goal is to provide you with wisdom from God's Word to give you hope and help in life's hardest places. If you have a question you'd like to ask today, our phone lines are open. Call 1-800-229-3000. That number again is 1-800-229-3000. Now here's Steve.
Hi there, welcome. So glad that you're with me, and I'm so glad that I am with Dr. Jim Burns and Dr. Jill Hubbard. Jim, how are you today?
I am very good, Steve. Great to be with you. Always great to be with you and Jill. I love both of you all, and I love hanging out with you.
And you know that I love you greatly and enjoy all the stuff that we get to do together.
Yes, sir.
Last night was the first night that I attended the new Bible study at our church, and the basis for it was John Eldridge's book, Resilience. And it really is. He wrote it for the post-COVID era. And one of the things that he quoted, a brilliant, brilliant psychiatrist who says, you know, the trauma of going through something is one thing, and it drains you of everything. He says what's worse is what's after the trauma, because you're facing things you would normally face, but you've been depleted during that traumatic period. And, you know, it's hard for people maybe even to remember in 2020, we were afraid we were going to die. You know, when this first thing came out, we thought somebody might have poisoned the water here. I mean, there was all sorts of uncertainty, and we got advice, and some was great and some wasn't. But it's been a tough time. And I just want to say this. God is for you. God is for you. And no matter how depleted you are, open up God's Word. And I'll tell you this. Open up the book of James. If you don't know where to start, open up James. Or another J, since we've got Jill and Jim. Open up John, another great book of the Bible to begin with. Either of those, great place to start if you're struggling. Any thoughts on trauma and the aftermath of trauma?
Well, Steve, I think that actually we need hope. And so I say, you know where I get my hope? I get my hope from being around people who are what I call VIPs, very inspiring people. And yeah. I've learned to kind of lean into those. So in my small group today, I hung out with four guys. I've been doing it for 21 years. And guess what? You know what? I walked out jubilant, and it was just because I was hanging out with some people who are making some good decisions, and they're nourishing their soul. And it brought hope to me after kind of a tiring season.
Yeah,
hang out with people who are VIPs.
Well, right, and you need to kind of borrow other people's stability,
sure,
or two people together, yeah, create stability,
yeah,
right? So
yeah,
when things so have true been traumatizing and you're weary, just being able to voice it, yeah, to another person, yeah, then bolsters you up.
Totally. And even the scripture says, where two or more are gathered, there, mm-hmm, I am in your,
yes,
midst. And I sometimes,
yeah,
see Jesus through you, Jill, or through, mm-hmm, Steve, as we, you know, that happens. And that's why we need to be around healthy people. Sometimes,
right,
we're around all those, what I call VDPs, very draining people. And we're,
yes,
going to do that. They're,
yes,
they're around.
Move towards life-giving people.
Find those life-giving people.
Mm-hmm.
I believe that really is true. Jesus is the river of life, and Jesus is the Prince of Peace. If you don't feel alive and you don't feel peace, that's really a great indicator you need some help, because something within has blocked off God's love, God's presence. God's there for you, always is. So we want to get help to get rid of whatever it is that's blocking our ability to sense and feel the presence of God. And some people have been believers, and it's been a long time since you've ever felt that. We want to help you with that. You call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. We'll find the resource best for you. In the meantime, we'll take a break. Dr. Jim Burns, Dr. Jill Hubbard, Steve Arterburn here. We want to help you, and we've got some calls lined up. We'll take those calls right after this.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
We are back. When you call 1-800-NEW-LIFE, you're not calling a phone number. You're calling people that woke up this morning and they were excited to help someone transform their life. And they've been doing this a long time and they're very, very helpful and good. They love you. They have compassion. So don't just call the number. Call the person behind that number. Let's go to Mallory, it is, there on the second line. Mallory, Indianapolis, and she catches us on Spotify. Hi there, Mallory. How are you?
Hey, Steve. Good. How are you?
Pretty well. I guess you're kind of a neighbor of mine since I live in Carmel.
Yes, and you preach a few times, so looking forward to chatting with you.
All right. Well, how can we help?
Yeah, so I just had a question about salvation and quote-unquote proof of salvation. I've grown up in the church and was always taught that you are saved when you are repenting of your sins and accepting Jesus Christ into your heart as your Lord and Savior and believing in the death and resurrection of Christ. And so I recently met someone that is on fire for God, and it's very evident, but practices a different faith. And we've been having a very respectful but deep conversation regarding our different views, and they believe that you must speak in tongues as evidence of being saved. And I've never been taught this. I've never even heard much about it growing up in church, so this is new to me and is a little bit overwhelming, but is that true? You know, it's creating doubt about my salvation and also that of kind of loved ones, and I know that the enemy is the author of doubt, but also they have presented and sent over some scripture that has me thinking and kind of supports this idea, but I also feel like it's kind of cherry-picking out of scripture, and so just wasn't sure, you know, I guess, you know, their belief about everyone in the Bible after Jesus ascended who was saved spoke in tongues. I haven't found that, but
okay, we get it. We get it. Yeah. We want to help you here. How about this scripture? I memorized it in the King James. It's Romans 10:9. That if thou shalt believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. But it's believe in your heart and confess with your mouth. What does it actually say, Jim? Now, I thought I had it memorized in King James, but you've got it pulled up right there.
I actually pulled up the same exact scripture, Stephen, and I'm not good at the thous and the thous.
Yeah. What does it say in a more...
This is in the NIV version, and Mallory, listen to this scripture, and I've said this to many people. I said it last week to somebody. If you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Period. It doesn't talk about the tongues. Now, you know, tongues is a different story, but I think I'm on your side. You can look all you want in that scripture, and yes, there are people who spoke in tongues in scripture, and there are people today who speak in tongues called Pentecostals, and some of those folks are some of my best friends. But that's not the sign of salvation. And most in theology, now see, I have a background. I went to seminary, not that that means I'm all, you know, theological, but in the terms of theology, there are very few people who would have your friends. Your friend had a great experience probably for themselves, and now they're putting it on others when, in fact, that's the scripture that we use, and that's the scripture that we declare that you know, Jesus is Lord and that he was raised from the dead. If that's the case and you believe that, you're saved, period. Okay. Now, the tongues thing is a different story, but I don't think your friend is right on that. I think that your friend has had an experience that's been very meaningful to your friend. But, you don't pull that into salvation.
Well, so, Jim, did you ever try to speak in tongues?
I had an experience when I was in high school. I'd just become a Christian, Steve. And somebody was in the parking lot, a very well-known, famous person who had been the speaker that day and came back into a room and looked at me and said, I think I'm supposed to help you learn to speak in tongues. And I actually was open to that. I went, awesome. And they kind of helped me do it, and I didn't do it. And you know what? I now look back at that and say, what a beautiful moment. But it wasn't that I wasn't called to speak in tongues at that moment, see? Now, I know other people who speak in tongues, and I honestly believe they do it quietly. They do it in faith. They have great faith. I was just at a church in Guatemala that's a Pentecostal church, and I love these people. But it's not salvation. You know, when you look at theologically, you know, salvation is based on your relationship with Jesus, not on one of the other spiritual gifts that can take place.
Yeah. Jill, have you ever tried to speak in tongues?
Well, I had a similar experience in college where people were telling me this very thing, Mallory, that you need to do this kind of like you're not quite spiritual enough.
Right.
And it was really disturbing for me, right?
Yeah.
And yet we're not all given the same gifts. And I had to come to that realization, and to try to like force it, to almost force yourself to babble didn't seem right to me.
Right.
And so I think it's sometimes a way that the enemy gets us off track is that overemphasis on the supernatural experience to validate our specialness to the Lord.
Yep.
And so you have, there are churches and things that maybe take it a bit too far, right? And then make everybody around them feel less than because you didn't have this supernatural. And so they're worshiping that supernatural experience.
Yeah, you're right. And sometimes, you know, today I was praying and I write in my journal and I said, fill me with your Holy Spirit.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And I do that almost daily. Yep. Empower me with your spirit is another phrase. And a lot of people who actually have had the experience, Mallory, like your friend, they are being filled and they are being empowered. Mm-hmm. They're describing it in a different way. So I wouldn't be afraid of it, but I also think that focus on the fact that you are saved, that you are a believer, and that you want to be filled with all that God has for you, and that and being filled with the Holy Spirit. When you become a Christian, the Holy Spirit of God dwells within you. Mm-hmm. Now it's making sure that you're in a relationship where you're allowing that Holy Spirit of God to work in and through you. And the, you know, the Holy Spirit has great names, Comforter, and the Holy Spirit sometimes convicts and challenges, but the Holy Spirit does more than just allow some people to speak in tongues.
Yeah.
Well, right.
Mallory,
and
let me just go ahead, Jill.
Oh, sorry, one more thing. And at Pentecost, the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, that was a very different experience than ongoing tongues or a private prayer language.
Right, right. And again, I'm not putting that down because
some
of my best friends,
right,
they're having great experiences with that. But it's not for salvation.
Nope.
No.
Yeah.
Mallory, two things. I used to go to the desert every summer with a group called Desert Fathers. We would pray, fast. Sometimes the Marriott we stayed in was not as great as the other hotels. In other words, we weren't out in tents. But anyway, it was a great experience. Half the people there were, they spoke in tongues, half didn't. And I was wondering if I was missing something. And so they knew that I was open. And I was in the middle of a group of guys. They were all speaking in tongues. They were encouraging me and all. And it did not happen, and I don't think it didn't happen because I was spiritually inferior to them. Now, one other thing I want to tell you. I have the gift of hospitality. When someone comes to our house, I'm one that puts the water pitcher by the bed. I make sure there's a chocolate X-Lax on the pillow. You know, that's me. I can't brag about that because it's a supernatural spiritual gift that God has given me. So I don't even think about it. You can't brag about something that just comes naturally. Wouldn't it be sad if my opinion was, if you don't have the gift of hospitality, you're not really a follower of Christ, because Christ washed people's feet, he fed them, things like that. Wouldn't it be sad if I was putting that on everybody that doesn't have that gift? That's what I think is wrong here. We all are given special spiritual gifts. I don't question any of those, but anytime somebody says one of the spiritual gifts or a fruit of the Spirit is the thing that saves you, and if you don't have it, you're not saved, they are not reading the Bible. They're just not reading it.
Well, that's how I feel, and I guess just scripture like Mark 16:17 is where I kind of perk up, you know, where they, you know, and these signs will accompany those who believe. in my name, they will drive out demons, they will speak in new tongues, they will pick, but then this is where I feel like they're cherry picking, because then it says they will pick up snakes with their hands, and when they drink deadly poison, it will not hurt them at all. They will place their hands on sick people and they will get well. So that's not all.
And you know what?
Either, you know,
all of that happened at that particular time. And just like there are things in Scripture that were cultural laws that we don't follow, we don't poke someone's eye out if they put somebody else's eye out. We don't do that. But here, right, you have to take everything in an intellectual context. And what was happening at any given time to any group of people doesn't mean that that is for every person today. So,
right,
you're saved if you believe that God loved this world so much that he sent his only begotten Son, and that whoever believes in him will absolutely be saved. If you believe that, you're saved. That's just it. All right. Mm-hmm. I'm going to find a copy of this book I wrote years ago, Being Christian, and it's got all the good stuff in it. And there's also a book I wrote called Toxic Faith, and putting your experience onto another person is part of the toxic faith experience. I'm really glad that you called. Let's go to Dana, Washington, D.C. She watches on YouTube. Hi, Dana. How are you?
Hi, I'm fine, Steve. Nice to have you answer my call.
Well, thanks for calling. How could we help?
Well, I listen to you on our Wave channel, but I also listen to you guys on YouTube. And my husband and I have been married 36 years, and we've been through a lot. We have a special needs son who's an adult who doesn't live with us anymore. He's a group home. Anyway, we're not getting along. We haven't gotten along for a long time, and it seems like our marriage is just getting worse and worse. And he thinks it's okay to have, you know, a mediocre marriage, and I don't. And I'm not sure. He recently was having an affair, emotional affair, with an ex-college classmate from 45 years ago, and now he did it again, and second time I've, you know, found this out, and now he swears he's not going to do it again. We have a very expensive marriage counselor we see, and I just don't trust him, and he thinks I should forgive him right away again, and I just want some space, and I don't know whether I should leave, because he won't leave the house. But
well, here's what I would do if I were you. I would say that this marriage counselor you're going to isn't enough.
Yeah.
It's just like if you were going to a marriage counselor and your husband was drunk, the marriage counselor wouldn't even talk to you. He'd say, you got to go get this drinking thing taken care of. And a responsible marriage counselor would say to him, hey, buddy, you've got to go get this under control. This has nothing to do with her. And so if I were you, I would say to him, given the pain I've been through and your desire to be forgiven by me, you have to go to every man's battle if you want any kind of a future with me. Because I think everything would be different after he went to every man's battle. The other thing is, it is very rare that an emotional affair is just emotional. Very rare.
Miles away or whatever it
is. Okay. Well, it doesn't stay there.
But who knows what they have done through sexting and other things that are more than just, oh, I care about this person and I'm sharing with them things that I should only share with you. So I would definitely want to say, if you divorce him, I would want to say, I did everything I could to save that marriage. I demanded he go to every man's battle. He wouldn't. Then both of you should go to intimacy in marriage. Because I would have to say more men's eyes are open to things they never even knew about themselves and others at intimacy in marriage. So that would be my prescription. When we come back, we'll hear from Jill and then Jim on their thoughts about a person who is, well, he's unfaithful to you. And I'm so sorry you're going through that. You're listening to New Life Live, and If you want to be part of some of these amazing transformation stories that we get to witness, call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. If you need transformation and you found that trying harder just makes trying harder, 1-800-NEW-LIFE. We'll be back.
We'd love to hear from you. If you have a question or a comment, call toll-free 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back. We're talking with Dana. Jill, and then Jim, what do you think?
Well, Dana, I was just thinking that your husband, what you said about him being okay with a mediocre relationship, I don't think that's true. I think he's just kind of compartmentalizing your relationship, and he's getting those emotional needs met elsewhere. So the question is really, what is he getting outside of the marriage that he doesn't think he can get inside of the marriage? So because all of those feelings that he's, you know, the sharing and all of that, that's what needs to be directed back towards you. And I wonder if through the years of you guys with your son, if so much energy went there that you both neglected the relationship, you managed to stay together, which doesn't always happen, but then emotionally, were you guys not supporting each other? And to really look...
Right. And
go ahead.
Sexually, too, a lot of times.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Right. Right. So both of you perhaps put other things in the way of the relationship, and so the relationship is starving. And so, of course, something outside looks exciting and looks more fun and is doesn't have the difficulties attached to it. But the goal is to turn what he's looking for there towards you.
And let me just say this. The fact that he doesn't have it with you is not your fault. He hasn't worked. He's talked about stuff in marriage counseling, but he's not working to fulfill the vows that you would be the only source of emotional support from another woman. He should be getting support from men also. You can't do it all, and I bet he's just about as isolated as you can be. Jim, your thoughts.
I have a lot of thoughts too, Dana. For one thing, because you're getting counseling, that's a really good thing. And because he's willing to go, that's a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
Recent research says that 78% of troubled marriages, if they persevere and work on their marriage, say that their marriage is better off after 5 years. So the grass isn't always greener. He's looking at the grass being greener. You know, he's looking for intimacy. Intimacy means connection. You know, guys don't get that. We sometimes move right to the physical side to it. But intimacy means connection. So the good news is that you can turn this thing around, you and him, and making sure that you give this over to the Lord. I have a phrase for you. It's untended fires soon become nothing but a pile of ashes. And a lot of times, as Jill was talking about, you know, when you have a special needs child, or just, I mean, my wife and I, we've been married 48 years, but we had a child's focused marriage for a while, and we had to throw things kind of under the mat and because we were too busy, right? So, you know, now that this is, you're stirring this back up, you know, untended fires soon become nothing but a pile of ashes. But you know what? You stir up ashes in a fire, and you can find that spark again. There was a spark. There is a spark. He has a desire for intimacy. He's been looking in the wrong place. He's admitted that. And your counselor can help him understand that you don't, I mean, you, he has to earn his trust back. You know, this, for, you can forgive and still not trust somebody, if you know what I mean.
Exactly.
And he needs to hear that sometimes from another person besides
right, it's not
you.
The same thing.
And so, yeah, I forgive you, but at the same time, now, you know, earn the trust back. But I think he earns the trust back by working on the marriage. You know, is there a basic things? Is there a weekly, you know, date night? Do you have moments of physical intimacy that are special? Are you, you know, I always say that a good marriage is an ongoing conversation, you know, that where you really are you know, having good conversation. And, you know, we have to remember this. Communication is a learned trait. So, you know, there's some things you guys can learn together to communicate more effectively. And because you're going to counseling, that's a good thing. Read a marriage book once or twice a year together. I mean, there's a lot of things you can still be doing. And there's a lot of hope. I see people who are in your place who kind of say, look, we're going to stir up these ashes and we're going to light that fire again. And they rekindle their relationship. They rekindle romance. So It's not out of the question, but he can't do that if he's in emotional affairs.
Yeah. Okay, so
he's had a porn problem, too, and for years, and he doesn't consider it a problem, and I gave him the New Life thing to go to last month or something, that every man's battle, and he said that he read the outside stuff of it, and it doesn't apply to him, just like Al-Anon doesn't apply to him.
Here's what I want to say to you, Dana. He is disqualified from choosing what he needs to do to win back your trust. You are the person that should be saying to him, as I said before, given your relationship with other women, relationships, and your pornography use, the least you could do is go to Every Man's Battle. If you're not willing to do the least that you could do, which is a weekend experience versus some places ask you to come for 9 months, if you're not willing to do the least you can do, then I'm going to move to be out of this marriage. Because you've been unfaithful to me, and I don't know all the different ways you have. Now, you have to do that, and you probably ought to have a session with the marriage counselor and ask the marriage counselor to help you communicate that this is a very small sacrifice, given the fact you've had to sacrifice however long he's been involved with pornography and emotional affairs. I'm going to send you the book Worthy of Her Trust, and I'll send you the revised edition of Every Man's Battle. And I hope and pray that something we've said or something you will say is going to make all the difference in the world. We also have an amazing event called Restore for You. And if I were you, I would be going to Restore, where women find hope, comfort, and a connection they never dreamed possible.
I was really living a very anxiety-filled life. I turned on New Life, and the topic that day was about anxiety. And just by listening, I got relief.
You can help New Life stay on the air by joining Club New Life today. When you sign up to support us monthly through Club New Life, we'll send you the new member thank you gift of the Life Recovery Bible Personal Size, the 1-Year Life Recovery Prayer Devotional, the New Life Journal, a New Life Pen and Highlighter, and a New Life Zipper Tote to hold it all. Plus, there are ongoing benefits like access to the Club New Life video library, the monthly Club New Life CD or download, quarterly resources, free shipping on purchased resources, and discounts on workshops. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433. Support Club New Life, and together we can help hurting people find help and hope in life's hardest places. Call 1-800-639-5433 to join Club New Life today.
Glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back. Steve Arterburn here. Glad you're with us here today, and hope something we say is helpful. Speaking of helpful, no one's more helpful than Larry Sonnenberg. Larry,
hey,
what do you have for us today?
Well, Every Man's Battle is just 2 weeks away, and I have a unique, testimony, but I think it's important. This gentleman said, "This was a powerful workshop. It brings new perspective to the causes and triggers for sexual addiction. During this workshop, I was able to learn to forgive my dad for his attempted suicide when I was 15 years old. Mm. That changed my life from that point forward. I was also able to forgive my mother for her years and years of prescription drug addiction that led to her early death. I now need to ask forgiveness from my wife for all the pain and grief my addiction and behaviors have caused her. Thank you, New Life."
Wow.
You know, it just shows that we're not just trying to get you guys to stop a behavior. Mm-hmm. We're trying to get to your heart to find out what's driving all this stuff that's causing you to do the things that you shouldn't be doing or don't really want to do.
Yeah.
And this kid learned about, I don't know if he was a kid, this man learned about forgiveness. And it's a big deal. So whether it's forgiveness or whether it's something else that's causing you to behave wrongly, come to this workshop and find out why and get some help. And,
you know, Larry, what's interesting about it is he made a courageous decision, and his parents weren't doing so hot. He can change the trajectory of his family for generations.
Yeah.
And sometimes somebody needs to go, well, you know, Steve and I used to talk about something in Drug Proof Your Kids about a kid needed to go to drug rehab, but he didn't go until his dad went, and then he followed his dad.
Wow.
So sometimes the greatest thing you can do to change the trajectory of your family and you're worried about your kids is go get help yourself.
Be the first one.
And,
right.
Yeah.
Yeah. So guys,
well,
help
I do
sign
hope
up.
They'll come. I hope they'll come. So many men have been transformed from every man's battle. That's what we do. We help transform lives. God uses us in that way, and we're so grateful. What else, Larry?
One last thought about that train of thought there is I was at an every man's battle a year or so ago, and sitting right behind a gentleman, and he turned around at the end of the workshop and said to me, I just realized that this happened. He said what happened to him, and someone abused him. And I never thought of that. It never came to me before. Mm-hmm. And so those aha moments will come at different times and about different things. This guy was forgiveness. This one was an abuse thing. And guys, come and settle it. Get it done. And ladies and gentlemen, if you would make a gift, help us keep doing what we're doing because it's making a difference in people's lives.
Thank you, Larry. And really a strong point here that every man needs to stop and ask, why am I doing this? Like our previous caller, why am I going outside my marriage? And men don't tend to do that. That's one of the things that happens at every man's battle. It isn't to shame you.
No.
Part of it is to help you figure out why you are involved in something that is habitually wrong. And once we find the source, maybe we can deal with that source, and that, with the recovery program, you never go back to it.
Right. You know, our friend Henry Cloud says, if the tooth is infected, pull it.
Yeah.
And I love that phrase. So if there's something infecting your life and it's porn, my goodness, pull it and get the help, because you're gonna only be a much more fulfilled person, and you'll find true intimacy, intimacy with God, intimacy with your spouse if you're married. So, if the tooth's infected, pull it.
Thank you, Larry. 1-800-NEW-LIFE. If you need some help or you want to help us, same place, 1-800-NEWLIFE. Well, how about we go to Donna from Phoenixville, Pennsylvania? Didn't even know there was one. Hi, Donna. How are you today?
I'm good, thank you. I'm glad I got through.
Me too.
Yeah, I just, the problem that I'm having is with my son, and he is 44 years old.
Okay.
And he was always involved with drugs or drinking or anything, and he was like my sword, you know, a thorn in the side.
Yes.
Growing up.
Okay, right.
You know, getting in trouble and all that other stuff. Well, now he's almost 45 years old, and he came to live with me, and he was okay for a while, for a couple years, and then he started saying, I need money, give me money, give me money. And I would say, well, you have to work for it. And he goes, I don't want to work, you know. So this was his MO, that he just wanted me to keep him all his life.
Yeah.
So when I got into retirement, I said, I can't keep you.
Mm-hmm.
So he left, and I said, I will help you get settled into an apartment, which I did. And he stayed there for 3 years, and then he came back here, and he was so angry with me because I wasn't giving him money every day.
Sure.
And I said, I'm retired now. I'm 70 years old. I can't be handing you money every day.
Right.
So he was very angry with me. He left the house. He got into his car, and he actually started writing me a text message that was so vile that I was it was unbelievable. He used every filthy word in the
So
Donna,
we get this picture here, and we want to help you.
I have just a question here. So your son was good. What you described in the story, he was good for 2 years, and then started demanding money. Do you have evidence that your son started using again? Because everything you're describing sounds like someone who has gone back to drugs and alcohol, and the personality changes and the violent, being vile and just give me what I need now, that very erratic where it's hard to deal with them, that's an addict.
Yeah. Yes. And so I had to, when he was diagnosed with as being psychotic.
Oh, so, okay.
And then one day he was down in the basement and he called me on his phone and I was up in the kitchen and I said, "What's up?" And he says, "You need to come down here, Mom. You need to come down." So I said, "Okay." So I went down the basement and he's kneeling in the middle of the floor. And he says, "Come here. You need to hold my hands. We have to pray, Mom. We have to pray." And I said, it was very odd. And I said, "Okay, if you want to pray." I said, "What do you want to pray?" And I said, "How about the Our Father?" And he says, "Okay." So he's holding my hands and we're praying the Our Father. And then at the end, he looks up at me and he says, "Mom, thank you. It's okay now because the devil left." He was standing in the corner watching us the whole time. And I knew. I was like, "Oh my God." He thought that the devil was actually standing in the corner of my basement.
All right. So what is the question for us, given that he has been diagnosed as psychotic, he's doing some things that you think fit the diagnosis. What's the question for us?
My question is that he's continually
texting. Ask it in the form of a question. Just try to pose a question. Okay.
I want to know what I can do to help him because he won't even talk to me. I haven't seen him in maybe 2 years.
Okay.
I haven't seen him.
All right. So he you don't know where he is, right?
I don't.
Okay.
I mean,
And you don't know how to contact him. You don't know how to contact him. Is that right?
Right.
And he's not sending those texts anymore. Is that correct?
He is.
He's still sending texts. Okay. All right. Yeah. So he's sending you text. You could actually send him a text back. Is that right?
Uh-huh.
Okay. All right, Jill, what do you think about... Well, here comes the music.
Right. Well, I'll have more after the break. But I am thinking, Donna, that if he's willing to go to the doctor... Right? That's when you help him. If he's willing to get on disability, that's where you help him. You help him with the things that will stabilize his life, not with the things that won't.
Yeah, and every time he texts you, you text him back, not responding to what he said, but giving him ideas that in ways you would help him. Just like Jill said, hey, if you ever want to be supported by getting disability, I will help you do that. That's the response he needs to hear. If you ever want to find a place to go to get stabilized medically, I will help you find that place. We'll give you more right after this.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back, and before we go back and talk with Donna, I want to remind everybody of a couple of things. One is, three things I think I've got. Ken Harrison, Chairman and CEO of Promise Keepers, is going to join us on Monday. I've got a brand new book I want to talk to him about. We have Restore coming up for every woman that's been betrayed. Maybe it's four things I want to mention. Lumina, this is the last day that every 10 or every 9 tickets sold, you get a free one. So 10 produces one free ticket for Lumina, which is November 3rd and 4th at the Museum of the Bible. And then this weekend, I'm coming to Cookeville, Tennessee. My brother and family used to live there. I'm coming there. And I'm going to be speaking at Life Church Sunday night Saturday night at 6, Sunday 9, 10, and 11 Sunday morning. Would love to see you at Life Church in Cookeville, Tennessee. What a great little community. Not little. What a great community that is. Now we go back to Donna. Jill, you had a couple more things you wanted to say.
Well, maybe I said them all. I think that you help in the ways that are positive, Donna, and you realize that you are dealing with a mental illness here. I also think that getting involved in a group for you that is parents of children that are mentally ill, like through NAMI or, you know, one of the organizations that offer those, would be a really good thing for you to understand other parents' experience, to be able to share and get ideas and commiserate.
Yeah. Jim, your thoughts?
Yeah, Don, I'm going to add, as soon as you said the word psychotic, mm-hmm. it changed the direction I was going to go with you, because you were talking about just some of the issues, and oftentimes people who are psychotic do medicate themselves with drug and alcohol or mm-hmm. whatever else. They're just trying to figure it out. But mm-hmm. as soon as you said psychotic, it's above your pay grade.
Yeah.
You're the mom to love and care, and even when he texts you all those horrible things, you know, you write back, and I love you, or, you know, and I can help you with exactly what they're saying. I mean, you don't take care of him. He's at that age where, and you're also at the age where it's time for him to learn how to do this. And I would make sure that I was with somebody who could coach you through how to help a child who's 44 years old, almost 45, who is psychotic, because there really are things that you can do. But, you know, it's, again, when I said it's above your pay grade, it's above all of our pay grades. I mean, you got to find somebody who knows how to help you with that. And there's somebody in that Phoenixville area. I still don't know where that is. And I actually lived in Princeton, New Jersey for a couple of years. But there's somebody in that area who could help you. They're an authority on that. The Bible says, mm-hmm. where there's no counsel, the people fall, but in the multitude of counselors, there is safety. So you're calling us to get some insight. But now that we understand the psychotic nature of your son, then that's a different playing field, if you would. Make sure you know what to do and how to do it. And actually, the advice that Steve and Jill have given you is so good. Don't take care of him. And there's a difference between helping and enabling. So if you're going to help him, you're going to help him get the help he needs so that he can thrive long after you're gone.
Well, I'm going to send you a really amazing book for a lot of people. It's Jim's book, Doing Life with Your Adult Children. And here is a really tough case. But Jim, so wise in this book. He's part of the workshops we do about adult children, and I'm happy to send that to you. I've got time for one more phone call here. Cassie, Atlanta, Georgia. She listens online. Glad that she does. Cassie, how you doing?
Hi there. Thank you for taking my call. I've been a long-time listener for many years.
Thank you.
Yes, my question basically is, I need some help I'm walking down the road again where I'm going to have to approach my husband that I know he's viewing porn again. It's a cycle. We've been married over 30 years. It happens with, you know, major trigger points in life happen, maybe a change of job or something, and he's going down the path again, and I'm along for the ride again, and it's just frustrating because he doesn't have anything set up right now in life where he's got accountability or anything. I just want to know how to approach it. It's just kind of old hat now, and I'm frustrated.
Yeah. Okay. Has he been to every man's battle?
He has. It was probably close to 15 plus years ago.
Well, it's a very different every man's battle than 15 years ago.
Oh, yes.
I think, again, I gave the same advice earlier. You say to him, given what we've been through, the least you can do is to go to every man's battle. And if he says, I went 15 years ago and it didn't do anything, you would say, well, 15 years ago you went, but you didn't do anything. You didn't take the path that they laid out. And today, it's a very different program with different presenters, and I want you to go. It's the least you could do. Jill, Jim, any comments here?
Well, there's a path toward healing. And the path isn't that you just repress it or you not talk about it. So I think, again, and it's probably not in the heat of the emotion. That doesn't work as well sometimes. But, you know, Cassie, sometime I think that's what you do. You present. Here's how we're going to keep this thing going. And if you're not willing to do that, then, you know, there are probably some other issues we're going to have to take a look at. Because he went to Every Man's Battle, he actually knows the way to go. Mm-hmm. He's just not living that. So the question becomes, exactly. What is keeping him from living and doing that path? Because there is a path to freedom. There are thousands of people who are, you know, addicted to porn, and there are thousands of people who actually get well by going through. And it's just a process. It's not easy. Paul said to Timothy, discipline yourself for the purpose of your spirituality, and it's a discipline, and he's going to have to learn that discipline. But the interesting side is he knows the way. So what can you do to help encourage him to follow the way that he already even knows? And you know what? He wants out of this too. You know, this is not making his life any better.
Of course, you say he needs to follow it, but he can't follow it without surrendering to God like everybody else does, and God helps him to follow it, and he is isolated. He's not going to a character building group. He has no accountability. So when you go to Every Man's Battle, all that gets put back in place. But with him, I doubt it was ever even there. Jill?
Well, and Cassie, you said, here we go again. This is old hat. I think it's important for you to do something different with having done the history, right? You have the track record. And so what's going to be different this time? And so even for you, and you're seeing what triggers him, I would have compassion on what triggers him, and that he doesn't seem to know how to cope, so he goes back to his default position, and that you guys need to do something different. So upping the ante by, again, going to Every Man's Battle, maybe you're going to go to Restore, and then you guys are going to go to Intimacy and Marriage. You're going to do some things at this point in your lives for the next 30 years.
That plan I've never, ever seen fail. When you do Restore for you, Every Man's Battle for him, Intimacy and Marriage for both. If you want information on those, 1-800-NEW-LIFE. In Psalm 16:8, it says, I keep my eyes always on the Lord. With him at my right hand, I shall not be shaken. If your eyes, unlike Job, who said, I will not look to the left or look to the right, I will not gaze upon the young women of the day. If you're not that place, you need help. And it may tear you to pieces to find that help, but you can do it. I know you can do it. It begins with a phone call to 1-800-NEW-LIFE. And there, you take a messed up page and it's wiped clean because you repent and you come to God in a whole new way. Call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. See you next time. Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening. We hope this program has helped you by giving you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you, but you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433, or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1029, Lake Forest, California, 92609. Please join us again on Monday for New Life Live. Today's podcast can be downloaded through iTunes or streamed through your mobile device using the New Life app. Visit newlife.com to download the app today.